You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. This is your host, Ben Wolf, as always. Happy to have you here. We're going to be talking with our guest today about the undoing of successful women, parentheses, perfectionism. And before we get into talking about that topic with our guest today, I want to ask everybody to please do me a favor, do the other people who are listening to or watching this a favor, and take a second to like or follow or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or YouTube or wherever you're watching this or listening to this, or whatever podcast platform it is. It helps get the content out to more people. I will appreciate it if you will go ahead and do that. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today, who is a coach and speaker for ambitious women. She has gotten into this after over 25 years in various leadership roles. You can find out more about her at kimbsmith.com. Her name is Kim Boudreau-Smith. I hope I pronounced that right. You can also connect with her on LinkedIn. Welcome, Kim.
Ben, first of all, thank you for having me here today, and double thumbs up to you for pronouncing my name properly.
Okay, yeah, good. I'm relieved. You did good. I should have checked with you before we started recording.
You did good. You did really good.
All right. Well, I'm grateful to hear that. And I guess the first thing I want to open up is to give everybody who is watching or listening to this a little context to understand how you got to be speaking on the topic that we're talking about today. And sort of what's a background, 2-minute history of how we got here and talking about this topic.
Well, gosh, considering that I am a little older, I don't know if this is going to take about 2 minutes. I'll give you a short cliff notes on this. You know, I was that young girl, younger, now I'm going to date myself, that would organize the Mother May I's and the races, you know, with all the neighborhood kids. And everyone, my parents would open up the front door and say, "Oh my God, Kim, you got a big mouth. You're so bossy. Tone it down. And I really took on those labels and that story as I grew older with that acceptance thing going on. So it took me a while to make it through high school and get a little bit of a college education underneath my belt. And that's a whole other thing is I climbed corporate ladders, and I'm very successful at climbing. When you get me into a situation to do the imposter syndrome, which I had no idea that was going on back in the day, because I wasn't around other women. We weren't talking about imposter syndrome. And again, this was like over 25 years ago. I could do the imposter syndrome. I could fake it until I made it, which I'm not quite sure what making it is, or, you know, whatever, and be very, very successful, but do it on other people's terms, not mine, not my voice. And so eventually started unraveling, stress, all of that, living out there based upon everyone's other terms. I was really unhappy and quite successful, but very, very unhappy. So one thing just led to another. 13, I just told this story, by the way, this past week. About 13, 14 years ago, there's a major intersection here by my house. And in the middle of a sunny August, Michigan afternoon, I fell asleep at the intersection behind the wheel of my car. Not once, but twice. And thank God nobody was hurt. I wasn't hurt. I didn't hurt anybody. And that was the biggest wake-up call. I was fatigued from lack of clarity, lack of passion, living upon others' terms, faking it. And, you know, I had it all going on the outside, but boy, on the inside, I was a wretched mess. And that was the pivotal moment that day. I'm going to point, because it's about a mile and a half from my house where this happened. I was on my way home. And I remember, too, because we have Michigan turns, I had to go through the light to turn around, face the light again in order to head westbound. We have Michigan turns. And I remember getting to that light again going, "Oh my gosh, windows down, air conditioning on, Aerosmith, full blast, here we are, we're going to get home, we're going to make this home," you know. So that was a real pivotal turn of my life of that. And again, you know, I claimed to be very successful. In my world, I was very successful. I was just very unhappy because of the lies and stuff.
Lies? What do you mean? I mean, what do you mean by lies?
Well, the faking it, the lies, you know, I've got like this perfect business when I had a very good business, and just trying to show up being somebody that I wasn't. And right. then I would, you know, leave and go home and sit down and cry, or, you know, be frustrated and go, how come they're not picking? Here's the analogy I'll use, Ben. How come they're not picking me for the baseball team? Why am I always like either the last one to be chosen or not chosen at all? But that had to do with me, because I wasn't clear on what direction I was going. So it's a mixed message I was putting out there, you know, and being in arenas that I thought I should shooting all over myself, I should be in, when I wasn't, you know, happy in that arena.
Interested, right.
Yeah.
What, well, so we can paint a picture for the people in the audience here. They are business owners primarily, you know, men, women, all kinds of people. So for the people in the audience, or the women in the audience, can you paint a picture a little bit what they might be going through, what might be happening in their lives and in their businesses, that could be indicative of some of the stuff we're talking about, that you're talking about?
Well, you know, I think it's really easy nowadays, because back in the day when I was talking about, you know, when I was back in corporate, we didn't have websites, internet. We didn't, you know, have all of this stuff. Nowadays, we can show up a specific way online, you know, with professional pictures. And of course, when we're doing professional pictures for our website, when you go to an event, you better believe I'm not going to be made up like that, because that's professional. But I'm seeing women appear a specific way on social media. I get on calls with them if they reach out, and I'm scratching my head going,
Is that the same person?
Yeah, is this the same person? I mean, again, you don't have to be perfect. And I want to get real clear here, because I'm a recovering perfectionist, is you don't have to look identical to what you are, you know, for the professional pictures on the website and stuff like that. But it's got to be pretty darn close. One, two, you know, women go into comparison. Oh my gosh, why is Ben Wolf so much more successful and got things going on than me? We start comparing that white picket fence when there is no white. There could be a fence, but it's not white. Because if we did have a white vinyl fence outside our yards, weather elements make it tarnished and different and things like that. That's life, you know, ups, downs, ins, outs, left, rights. So we start comparing, and then we feel inadequate. So then that fake it until you fill in the blank starts really taking over, that we have to act and show up a certain way. And then when it's time for us to vocalize, we either go real small and pull back, imposter syndrome. I don't have enough degrees. I don't have enough certification. Why should I speak up? They don't want to hear what I want to hear. I don't want to sound dumb. How am I going to appear? How I'm going to look? Or we go over to the other side and get real bossy. And there's multiple other B words. I'll let your listeners use their imaginations on those. And we become too much. We become aggressive. And so women, it's like we feel like there's like no right business model on how to communicate and be effective. So we take all that on in our heads, which leads me to that inner critic, you know, that I see, I call the hag in the attic, and she starts dominating all of this. And that's where women will start pulling back. And don't get me wrong, I'm not picking just on women, because I know you're male listeners and I have some male clients. Men go through this too. It looks differently for men, but men go through a lot of this stuff as well.
It sounds like a lot of the common denominator that I'm hearing in what you're saying is the inconsistency. Is the biggest common denominator, is that, you know, having one face to the public or to colleagues or to clients or social media or whatever, one face to the world and one face of who we are. And so we're not doing things that we want to do, or we're doing things we don't want to do, or we're appearing some way. And that's different from, you know, who we are, what we think. And that is taking a big toll. It sounds like that's correct? Like, in terms of what's kind of behind a lot of the examples you gave?
Yeah. You know, for an example, like when I was in corporate America, I was the only woman at a table with all men. And boy, these men were chewing me up and spit me out alive. Like when I walk out of those meetings, I'm heading towards the bathroom because I'm going to sit on the floor. I'm going to have a meltdown. I'm going to have to decompress. So I held back in those meetings because I didn't want to be eaten up alive, or I had those fears I was going to show up and look inadequate or say the wrong thing or not look perfect. I had all of that. And there weren't female mentors at that time when I was in corporate. The women were vying for my job and would have cut, stabbed me in the back to get the job, where I'm like, take the job because I'm going to go to the next level anyway. So let's make room for you. But when we're holding back or showing up like, too bossy, aggressive, we lack des we're losing that desire. We get uncomfortable with the actual desire of what our hearts, our intuition, our guts, our bodies are actually saying. We shut it down and we go into our logistical thinking heads, and we're not satisfied because we get out and we are, oh, I should have said this, or why didn't I say that? Or and what happens is that's where an element of stress can start ramping up.
Where does one of the things you talk about is fixed versus growth mindset. So what are those, and how does that fit into the dynamic that people might be experiencing?
Well, a fixed mindset would be something about, we're talking about some, in the title here about that perfectionism. I just said this and I'll say it again. I'm a recovering perfectionist. A fixed mindset would be an example of, I can't do this until everything is freaking picture perfect. I's dotted, T's. And by the way, life is never freaking picture perfect. Never, ever. I can't even remember a time in my life when things were picture perfect. I know when things ebb and flow and when I'm aligned and I'm on my game. So a fixed mindset would be an example. Okay, I can't do this until everything is perfect. Where a growth mindset is, hey, I'm going to get my support around it, and I'm going to still do this, and I'm going to probably make a couple of errors. Two errors, human, but I'm still going to show up and do this. And look at the opportunities for the next time of growth around that. So it's showing up perfectly imperfect, unapologetically, and doing it anyways is that
Right.
a lot of that growth mindset.
Embracing that. I heard a phrase once, launch and learn. And I was
Launch.
like,
Oh, I
oh,
like that. Launch and
and they
learn.
have launch and learns. This is launch and learn, right? Not have to grow it up or wait till everything's perfect to launch it. And what is the difference in how these things of perfectionism, imposter syndrome that hold people back? What is the difference in the way that those show up for women? Because you mentioned that it shows up for men too. And I, we can acknowledge that, maybe it's, I don't know, because you always feel like, there's a famous idea of like mediocre men and just in their unreasonable confidence, right? But how, what is the difference? But these things are very common among men and common among myself, with like, when am I going to get found out? And that feeling. And what's the difference though in how these things show up for women versus how they show up for men? Because you mentioned that it does show up for both, but in different ways.
I just want to say this. I see so many women say, how can men be an imposter syndrome? And men do, and maybe chip away a little bit at the confidence, but yet can walk into a room and own it. It's like the old saying, and it could be very current and not that old or whatever, is a man can look at a job description and go, yeah, okay, there's 20 bullet points here. I might fit 9 of them, but I'm still going in. Whereas a woman sees all 20 and says, if I don't fit all 20 of those or even 18 of those, I'm not going in. I'm not going in. So men have a tendency, women are getting a lot better at this, I will say. Men have a tendency and have for years just, who cares? I'm going in. I'm going in. But
You mean just to squash that feeling or
just to,
be better at squashing it? Like, is
yeah,
that?
overcoming it, maybe more in the moment of pivoting through it. Whereas women, you know, we house those a little bit more. We hold those feelings a little bit more, which, by the way, is our powerhouse. It's, however, we pull it on as a weakness. It's our powerhouse. It's to our advantage. But again, we've had society say, you know, sit up. This is how you're supposed to look like a woman. Don't ruffle feathers. You know, you show up and hold back and don't speak. We've had centuries of that, and we're breaking through that. But in order for women to continue to break through that, so Ben, I can really put you in a beautiful blue Tiffany box with a bow around it and get you all polished up to go out there and kill that keynote talk. But if we don't manage what's inside the box, that ribbon's going to fall apart. The box may get bent and ruffled and stuff like that. Until we start learning how to manage inside that box, we're still going to show up small. We're still going to hold back. Where men are able to be okay with the frishimmelness, so to speak, inside the box, and still plow forward.
Mm-hmm. Can you say a drop more about what you mean by that perfectionism rather than being a weakness? Because that's even that's the context in which we're even talking about it. But in what sense did you mean that it's your powerhouse?
So all these emotions that, I mean, I hear clients that will say to me, oh yeah, you know, between my partner and I was the one that chose to stay home and raise the kids. And now the kids are at a certain age and I want to launch a business, or I want to just go out there and start working again and making impact. But I haven't worked in years. And it's like, oh, hang on, time out here. Let's decipher what you have been doing inside the house, as opposed to just being a stay-at-home mom. How about a house manager? You were managing conflict. Because, you know, kids fight, managing, you know, meals and what needs to be fed, managing schedules. Oh my God, as kids get older and you've got them going all over the place, you're managing schedules, making sure everyone's everywhere safely and on time.
Supply chain.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, possibly managing budgets and finances and not spending too much on groceries, or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's changing up the mindset. Goes back to that, oh, I was just a stay-at-home mom, to, man, I was a house manager, fixed to growth.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've been most interested to ask you about, and I told you this before we started recording, is the criticism I've heard, not of you, but of a lot of people that speak to women and help people be more, you know, more successful, is that a lot of it is trying to get women to behave more like the MO of men. And you talk on your site about dropping the quote unquote shoulder padded masculine driven stance and embracing bold feminine leadership. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very interesting thing I'd like to learn about, or have the audience hear more about, is what is a, you know, what is the uniquely female way of doing that? What do you mean by not doing this in a masculine way? I'm just very interested.
Well, first of all, I just want to say all men and women have masculine and feminine energy in them. When we're logically operating from our heads, constantly making decisions from our heads, constantly feeding and allowing that inner critic to drive us a specific way, we're more into that masculine type of energy. That's where that negative, critical, judgy internal conversation starts coming in on us. That's a lot of that masculine energy. Where one of my biggest things I do with women is get them out of their heads, get them back down in the body, because societies tell us, no, you're not supposed to be there. Well, in our body, we have sensations as opposed to just, well, maybe I'm this up here in my head, but I've got tons of sensations into my body. And to listen to what the heart wants, intuitions, gut. By the way, men have strong intuitions, but they've been raised and told, no, you don't go there. That's not leadership. And you're going to look a specific way if you listen to your intuition. Get logical, go back into your head. A lot of women want to do that because they think, and they've seen men climb ladders in corporate America. They see men with their businesses be more successful. So women want that. And I don't, sure, I want the success too, but especially in the female leaders that I work with in organizations, they're finding out that they can't run their teams how men have done it in the past. It's edgy. It's aggressive. It's non-emotional. It's too logical. As opposed to coming back down into the bodies and, you know, let's start getting curious. Let's have collaboration dialogues. What would this all look like if we get to over here and we've got to go here? Let's reverse engineer back. Let's pause. Let's breathe. That's more of those feminine energies. And it's also too, when our inner critic is kicking up instead of, and many years ago, I was guilty of this, beating myself up. And then coming out of that, Ben, and going, dang, I would not say that to my friend. I wouldn't even say that to you. So why would I talk to myself that way? That's a lot of that edgy masculine energy when we need to flip it over to that empowering, inspiring, and very compassionate dialoguing internally so that we in turn can serve to our clients, grow businesses, organizations.
And so let's say we have people who are experiencing this, you know, this conflict between their inner and outer self, the perfectionism, self-criticism, imposter syndrome. What are one or two of the things that you teach people to do to overcome, to be that successful person, overcome that perfectionism?
First of all, I love talking about self-care. When I talk about self-care, I'm talking sign me up for massage, manicure, pedicures. I'm down for all of that. Those self-care, the self-caring for yourself. I like to go one step deeper with a lot of my clients is soul care. What does that soul care look like? Because I got so many tools up my sleeves and in my tool belt, is discovering what's going to work to flip the dialogue, to get around so that that inner critic and that imposter syndrome is not controlling us, but we're managing it. And it could be stuff like gratitude journaling. I mean, I have clients that come to the call and I'll ask them, okay, what are we celebrating this week? And do you know, a lot of women can't even come up with anything. And it's like, how about we got out of bed this morning? Let's celebrate. We got up out of bed. So it could be a celebration. It could be meditating. And I want to get real clear to all the listeners, because meditation is a big M word that's thrown around a lot. Meditation is not sitting cross-legged with your feet. It can be, but it's not just go, om, 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 oh gosh, I got monkey brain. I don't meditate. I do not meditate like that. I listen to some guided stuff. And another form of meditation for me is I leash up one out of two of my black labs, and we're in the nature. We're walking. I'm power walking. We're in nature. We're seeing deer, whatever. Is discovering tools like that that really work for yourself. But at the end of the day, is learning how to flip that dialogue in the moment. Not, oh, I'll handle this next week. Because I'm going to tell you, olive oil fed Popeye spinach and Popeye's arms got huge. That's what will happen with your inner critic. It gets bigger, it gets bigger, it gets bigger.
And how is it that, I guess, where does the self-care and soul care, you know, or the massages or, you know, manicure, pedicure, how does that help, or how is that related to changing that inner dialogue?
Oh my God, slow down, pause, slow down, pause. We have very jam-packed schedules. Going from, like I said, I like to go from self-care, and I'm down for the self-care, but getting deeper into the soul care. What is it are you doing every single day for your soul? An example. I love getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I just naturally, I'm a morning person, right? Do you know what it's like at 5 a.m. in the morning, even in the summertime? It's dark. Half the world's still asleep. It's quiet. I know it's warm. Yeah. I know. I feed my dogs. I take care of my dogs. They know to go lay down after that. I got my cup of coffee. I got my protein bar. I dunk that bar in that coffee. You're like, you're feeding me chocolate, right? And I just sit and I relish in that. And then I'm able to listen into my body to see what I need for that moment. It might be grabbing a journal and I have to write some thoughts out. It may be just listening to a guided meditation. I might just pull up water noise and just sit for 5-10 minutes. And I will acknowledge myself for maybe greatness that happened the day before. Because I'm a type of person that, okay, delivered that keynote yesterday. What's next for today? What's next? What's that? And we don't relish in the accomplishments of how we've showed up in that success and our beings, what took place in your being. Because if anyone's listening, Ben, that is like me, my self-worth used to be wrapped up in my achievements. That's why I did so well in corporate. I mean, get on my way. Let me see. You've got 5 levels above me. I'm going for all 5 and I'm going to get the, no one needs to teach me. I just show me what you're doing. Okay. I'm going after it because my self-worth was so wrapped up in that.
Right. Right. So we have, you know, some sort of discipline or journaling that is getting out gratitude, focusing like this. One of the books behind me, for those who could see, is The Gap and the Gain. I took that one down. Never mind. I used to have up there, but The Gap and the Gain by Dan Sullivan and Dr. Benjamin Hardy, you know, is our tendency to focus just on the gap. It's just always, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? Never, you know, cause that's going to do something to confidence. Cause we always feel like a failure. Mm-hmm. And you know, what you said about self-care, both physical and spiritual, is slowing down again, just that rapid brain that just gets people just all wound up in whatever their insecurities and perfectionism and busyness. Anything else? What else can you share about, I guess, what you teach people to overcome that perfectionism, that fixed mindset?
It doesn't have to be hard and a lot of work, but you have to allow yourself that time to unwrap maybe the habits and the patterns that are over here to create new habits and patterns over here. It does take a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And accountability. Oh gosh, I'm in that. I just entered like that fractional integrator accountability word. It's one of my favorite words. Accountability, making sure you've got support around you, whether it is a coach or you're in a community. There's all those pieces, and it's not a one and done, because I get clients that think, oh, you know, I'll just do this and I'll be done. Well, no, this is ongoing. This, right. You know,
you just revert.
Yeah. It's one day at a time. And there's going to be days. I have a lot of women that come to me and they say, I want confidence. Well, you have confidence, but maybe we need to work on in strengthening it, amplifying it. And that confidence is like a muscle. What happens if you didn't get a good night's sleep the night before? Your confidence is not going to be soaring at, you know, 90%. It might be a little lower because you're off your game a tad bit from being tired. So it's a ebb and flow. I mean, there really is no one-stop shop for people. It's discovering what people are needing and how this is going to fit into their lives. But here's what I see. People are so packed with their schedules. You need to integrate changes, you know, slow down, learn how to say no without guilt, and pause throughout the day.
Wow. What resources that people do want to explore more about this and how they can get better at growth and overcoming perfectionism and self-doubt, and you know, and doing it in a way that's consistent, not as just more faking, you know, or more inconsistency between external world and internal world. What are some resources that people can go to learn more about how to do that and apply these things you're speaking about?
Well, one of my most favorite books, especially, especially if you're in a leadership position, but I believe we're all leaders. It doesn't matter where we're at or what we're doing, is Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. I mean, that is a phenomenal, phenomenal book. I'm sitting here looking in your background and it's who, not how. It's literally who and not how. The how will come. you know, just really making sure you're aligned. I like to align myself with folks that are around the same level, so to speak, where I'm at my business, maybe a couple steps, you know, maybe they laid a couple other steps in the beach before mm-hmm. me. And so I can watch, look, learn, and listen. I make sure I'm surrounded, especially with my group, with my coach and the group that I sit in that she leads, is women are coming to these calls. They're transparent. And it's not, we do tackle business issues, but there's the personal element as well. And there's a mm-hmm. deep connection. There's space created for us to show up and bring our issues to the table. And I've seen tears. I've seen tears of sorrow. I've seen tears of joy. I've seen frustration. It's important to be around those people that can relate and be there for you, not fix you, but be there for you.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I appreciate it. And I know people can, you mentioned Dare to Lead. People can learn more, of course, checking out your website, kimbsmith.com. You'll reach out to you on LinkedIn, Kim Boudreaux-Smith. Again, thank you so much for coming on, making the time, and teaching what you're speaking about. I hope it makes a big impact on a lot of people who are listening or watching.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.